Welcome to the Leverage Ladies Podcast with Linda McKissick and Shannon Dagger. Each episode of this show, we will take on conversations about the biggest assets you have working for you, your team members. We will hear stories and conversations from successful business leaders, authors, and executives, and learn how they have used leverage to grow and expand to the next level. If you are looking to grow or expand your business, this is the show for you. Now, let's talk leverage.
Welcome to the Leverage Ladies. This is a podcast where we have inside conversations with top experts and business owners about their journey to finding leverage, growing their organization, and achieving work-life balance. These are perspectives and stories you won't hear anywhere else. We are your hosts, Linda McKissick and Shannon Dagger. We are business owners and business partners who have committed to leveraging our way to freedom so that we can achieve financial peace and have a life by design. As lifelong learners who run multiple organizations, we know that you can achieve more by focusing on building organizational support and leverage. To go along with these interviews each week, we are putting together a roadmap for you to follow as you are implementing leverage into your own business. Our speakers will be sharing documents and resources with you as well. Be sure to listen to the end to find out where you can get each week's piece to the roadmap. We highly encourage you to check these out. Now, let's talk leverage. Well, hey, everybody. I am so excited to be here with Linda McKissick today, and we have an amazing guest, Kara Dennison. Kara is the CEO of Optimize Career Solutions. She is an executive career and leadership coach, and she's a contributor to Forbes. She is a senior human resource professional who has spent her career in corporate recruiting and as a leader and working closely with decision makers. Kara has personally reviewed over 300,000 resumes. Wow. Through her executive coaching program, she's helped thousands of professionals land their dream job and has been responsible for negotiating over $10 million in salary increases over the years. Kara, you are an amazing lady. You have got it going on.
Thank you.
From when we talk leverage, you know about it.
From someone who I admire, thank you. I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much.
We are super excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Is there anything else that our listeners need to know about you and what you're doing today?
I also have a podcast called The Dennison Download with my husband, Jack, and Shannon was a guest. So you can check that out too. But other than that, I am geek about helping professionals land their dream job and live fulfilling lives. That's who I am. So you nailed it.
I love it. And I always like the backstory, Kara. So I always like to say you were born and then what happened? How did you wind up where you are today, helping people and executives and corporate training and leverage and all those things? So bring us the backstory, just kind of a cliff note version, if you would, up to where was that moment when you knew that's what you wanted to do? Was it a career path that led you there? Tell us about that.
Sure. That's a really great question. Well, I was born and then a series of unfortunate events happened that led us to here, right? I feel like that's everyone's story, but I have a saying that I have a lot of sayings, but one of them is dreams can change, right? And that is looking back on my career, on my life. I've had a lot of dreams, and I feel that we do not have to live a life where we only have to go after one of them, right? And for me, I have always had this entrepreneurial spirit. In my early 20s, I started a wedding photography business and did that while I was also working full time. I graduated from my university with a double major in management and marketing at the height of the 2008 recession. So it was let me just get a job. Let me also try a business and let me just work all the hours as young 20-year-olds tend to do. And then late in my 20s, I wanted to make a change and I ended up in human resources and I fell in love. I love human resources and I got to do all facets of human resources, but the common theme was recruiting. I implemented an applicant tracking system. And what I found after implementing that applicant tracking system is I found that I watched a lot of really qualified candidates go through this software system that was designed to help me as a recruiter, but wasn't really helping them get to where they needed to be, right? And so I started getting really restless. And on the side, because I had that entrepreneurial spirit, I was helping friends and family land their dream job, helping rewrite their resumes and kind of bypassing people like me as a corporate recruiter. Because that's what I was noticing executives, directors, VPs doing, bypassing me. So I'm like, well, let me share the secrets. So what ended up happening after a great year implementing a lot of good stuff, or great few years implementing a lot of stuff, is I ended up burning out. Things changed, leadership changed, the company changed, and what was a great ideal situation at first turned not to be an ideal situation. And I held on for longer than I probably should have, because, you know, we tend to do that. And I burnt out and I ended up in the hospital. I ended up having a migraine that lasted for 6 weeks. And I did all the tests, and my dad had passed away from a brain tumor. So I thought maybe that was it, but it wasn't. It was a doctor who said, listen, this is stress. This is burnout. And if something doesn't change in your career and how you're operating, it's going to just keep getting worse. And so I was just married. I actually was in a job search, and I was doing it all the ways that I was telling other people not to do it, just hitting the job boards over and over again. I got a rejection on my honeymoon from my dream job. And I just was down. I was in the dumps, and the hospital stay was the last thing. And I turned to my new husband, and I was the breadwinner at the time. And I said, what if I just quit? What if I just not do this anymore? And I just kind of take the resumes and build that up and do some blog writing and whatever I can do as virtual assisting, right? You know that. And I did it, and I quit. And luckily, what I ended up doing was partnering with another career coach. And we, in 2020, with the recession, we helped, in 2020 alone, over 750 people land their dream job during a pandemic. And that's when I finally felt aligned. I felt, this is my passion. This is what I want to do. That partnership, because of one thing or another, didn't work out. And I left in 2021, and I started a new program that I felt more aligned with, that I felt was going to help my clients a little bit better. And I started with my husband, who comes from a life coaching and personal training background. So he helps with accountability and mindset. And it's just been from there, the 2 years. And interestingly enough, at the beginning of this year, actually 2022, now we're in a new year, I burn out again because I didn't learn the lessons. And now I'm working 24/7 in a business that I love. And I thought, how could I be burning out? I'm doing what I love. And it took me, again, ending up in the hospital and having to take that moment and stepping back of, hey, even though you're doing work that you love, working 16, 17 hour days is still a lot for your body. And you're not 20 years old anymore, you know? So I had to learn the lessons, and I had to use some leverage and had to rethink some stuff. And I did. I learned a lot of lessons. 2022 was a year of lessons. And that brings us to today.
Wow. I love it. So many questions. So interesting. And I do believe our journey always leads us to a way to serve people in a higher manner, right? If we just pay attention, there's always bumps in the road. There's always things that happen, but those bumps are there for a reason. They're to help someone else that might have entered those bumps or could hit those bumps. So one question I have to you is, you know, we're hearing all about the silent resignation, and people don't want jobs, and you can kind of almost feel like, okay, nobody wants a job anymore. They all want to be freelance or whatever. What pattern have you seen emerging from 2020 with people? Is that just not true? There's still a certain percentage of the people that will always love having a job. What do you see from that angle?
Yeah. Now, to your point, there are a lot of people who have, you know, in 2020 got laid off and started their own business. I do think the gig economy exploded in 2020. But from what I'm seeing with my clients is that the great resignation, and what I truly believe what happened with the great resignation, is there was a big wake up in 2020 with the pandemic, right? All of a sudden we're isolated, we're in quarantine, and we're looking around and we're seeing our friends and our family passing away, right? Dying young, and things happening. And it's this really big wake up of, what am I doing with my life, right? And I think a lot of people, most of my clients, I'm having these conversations of, we're getting on these consultations, these calls, and the overwhelming theme that I'm having is, I've been in my job, or I've been in this career, or I've been in this path, and I'm now thinking and rethinking and asking myself, excuse my language, what the hell am I doing with my life? Is this really the path I'm on? Is this really the company or the boss or the coworkers that I really want to spend what potentially limited time I have left with? Or I now realize my family's my family's important. And Shannon and I had this conversation. When you think at the very end, when you zoom all the way out, right? And you think at the end, the destination, when I'm sitting on my deathbed, what am I going to be looking back on? Am I going to be looking back on a job that I spent 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week on? Miserable? Mm-hmm. And so the conversations I'm having right now are, people are wanting to be fulfilled. They want to make an impact, and they want to be at a company that values them for the work and the time and the energy that they pour into it. Yeah, there are people who want to go into entrepreneurship, but it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm finding now is, yeah, money's important, but overwhelmingly, they want to find jobs that fit into their life. Because at the end of the day, your career funds your life. It also affects your life. If you're miserable, if you're unfulfilled, if you're not making an impact, that's going to bleed into your physical health, your mental health, your relationship. But if you're fulfilled, if you're energized by your work, that's going to bleed into your life too. And you're going to have great mental health. You're aligned, your physical health, and your relationships are going to thrive too.
And so I'm assuming with every person that what energizes them would be one that they're working in their unique ability, their gifts that's unique to them that is not necessarily unique to anyone else. There is some type of flex time so that they do get more time with family. Anything else you're seeing that is a trend that is the movement towards to work for an organization that does X?
Yeah. So some big trends that I'm kind of noticing are the flexibility is a big thing for sure. And it doesn't necessarily have to be remote. I have clients who are like, I'm kind of tired of being isolated. I miss having coworkers. I miss having a community. But it's more that flexibility. And when I say flexibility, I almost mean understanding. Right? A compassion, hey, I'm a human and I have a family and I have mental health and physical health that is a priority. And I will be better at my job if you also value that, like I value that. Right. So that type of flexibility is really important. A company that values and company culture, right? Like values. Do you value diversity, equity? Are you going to listen to me? Am I going to have a seat at the table as a woman, right? Or as a person of color, et cetera. So it's interesting, this new generation that's coming up, that's extremely important to them. And what I have found is this great resignation, it's shifting. It's shifting corporate America and what it values. And I'm excited about it. I really am.
One of the things that when I, and you know this, Kara, that brought you to my attention was I'm an operating partner for Cyberbackers, and I was looking into the virtual work trends because for us, the pandemic was kind of eye-opening to a lot of business entrepreneurs out there that we can fill roles in your organization through virtual talent at a cost of 70% less. Yeah. And work, your company can work 24 hours a day and do these different things. And so I was studying some trends and looking at that. And I came across an article you wrote titled Promoting Misconception About Virtual Work Won't Fill Office Chairs. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, you know, kind of what, when you were writing that article, what you were thinking about the misconceptions that people do promote about virtual work and what you see there.
You know, when I was thinking about writing that article, I actually, my past corporation that I was working for was very against virtual work, remote work. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because we moved to kind of the middle of nowhere. My husband and I live in the middle of nowhere. And we love remote living. It works for us personally, and it feeds our souls. And it's great. We have an amazing internet connection and anyone can do it, right? But they did not want that. And when we moved, my husband was still working for them and we offered, hey, why don't he still work for you? And they said no. And then the pandemic hit 2 months later. And it was interesting. So what I have found is that just like you, so many companies can decrease overhead, save expenses, hire so much, I don't want to say better, but your pool for right. talent increases.
Hugely.
Because you can hire from anywhere. So recruiting goes much better. Your talent pool goes better. Retention is better. The misconceptions that a lot of, and I don't want to stereotype, but a lot of older generations or that are used to, or potentially, I like to say, it's kind of the scarcity mindset, right? It's the fear that if I hire a virtual worker, I won't be able to watch over them. I won't know what they're working on. They're going to take advantage of the time, right? And, or they're going to work on another job on our company time, or they're going to be focused on their family or their personal needs during company time. And what we have found over the last couple of years, when almost every company had to go virtual, was that the opposite was true, was that more people were more productive, more effective, and their personal life got better, right? Their time commuting was gone. They got to do some of the stuff on their personal life, like, hey, I have a 15-minute break or my lunch break. I can go run to the kitchen and throw in laundry and all this other stuff. And work got to be done better. Now, are there things that are a little bit more difficult, like meetings and communication and things like that? Yeah, but that's a skill set that now needs to be taught and honed in on for leaders. So really the onus is on leaders and leadership.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And if they're not willing to adjust and learn those new skills and lead in a holistic coaching leadership style, which I feel is the most appropriate for this time and age, then yeah, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took a shift in the mindset of many leaders out there when that happened, and leaders still had to lead. And when you bring in a new employee, you still have to lead. And so it is different, and you still have to implement things to build culture and to build trust and to build set expectations. And so I think that's been a real learning experience for so many. And I do think that there is a balance that you find, right? Like, I'm not a proponent of all virtual. Every job should not be virtual. Every job should not be 100% virtual or in office. For me, I mean, I love the 50-50 balance. Put me with people 50% of the time. I love to be at my desk 50% of the time, you know, and that's what I found for me works best. And so the beginning of the pandemic was hard because I was 100% virtual like everybody else. And so, but I had never been virtual before. So it also opened a door to me that I was like, this is wonderful. Like, this is actually better than going in the office for me every day, but balance is where you have to find that, right? And so, but yeah, you still have to lead, and you have to, you know, teach and set expectations with your team, mm-hmm, in order to do that. So in the areas as you're experiencing burnout, where have you found leverage in your own world, in your own existence? What are you doing to find leverage and tell us about that.
That's really a great question. So last year at the beginning of 2022, when I was in burnout mode, what happened is I had like 4 major medical things happen in the same weekend. And it was like, whoa. And what I ended up doing was hiring, right? I ended up needing to delegate. And what was the biggest thing that I needed to delegate was marketing. As entrepreneurs, and when you're a small business, you just wear all the hats, right? And for me, what I needed to get myself out of was the marketing part, because I felt for me that it was almost addicting, right? So for some backstory, in 2021, I got on TikTok and I kind of went a little viral. I kind of blew up. So I had a big following. It triggered that dopamine hit, right? Where it's like, ooh, like comments and followers and yay. And so I like justified it to myself, like, oh, I could be on TikTok because I'm doing research. Well, TikTok's on my phone, so I can't just leave it in the office, and all of a sudden it just became this thing. So I burnt out. Well, the good part about that was that I had 500 videos that I did in about 6 months. So I hired a marketing team and I said, listen, I need to create systems and processes where we can do baseline social media, get that all out there, and have you handle that and write some really killer email marketing, all that other good stuff. And then I need you to start syndicating my TikTok on Instagram, Facebook, all that other stuff. So that's what they did. And I hired them for a year in order to create a year's worth of content. And that was the plan, and that's what we did. And so now at the end of the year, I've taken the marketing back, and now I have a year's worth of marketing and content. I'm back on TikTok creating new videos. But now what I do is I create a quarter's worth of marketing emails, social media, mm-hmm, contents, and I do it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. So, oh, you have a cat.
I did. Well, personal assistant back there.
That's your personal assistant. Yeah. I was like, what's that? So for those of you who can't see us, we will be putting these on YouTube. I'm not sure when this one will make it on there, but this is our podcast. Kara has a cat walking behind her. So that took me by surprise.
So Kara, I have a question. You said one of the things that you do is you help people find their dream job, which is they bypass, I guess, recruiters like you. So were you a recruiter for just a specific company in the past, and now yes. You've opened it up and people find you. So what are some of the things that you've learned to help people find a dream job? Because I think if it's their dream job as a person who's employing them, they're going to be a lot happier. I'm going to get better work. I'm going to be happier if it's the role I need them in, that kind of stuff. What are some of the things that you coach them on about around that?
That's a great question. So in our coaching program, what we really focus on is what I call the five key components of a strategic job search. So we really want to make sure that you're not wasting time and that you're spending the time that you do spend on your job search on things that are going to provide ROI. So what I believe are the five key components of a strategic job search are going to be, first, mindset. So we have a lot of mindset stuff because we have found time and time again, when you're in the right mindset, abundance mindset, able to overcome rejection, et cetera, it shortens your time so much. The second is going to be branding, making sure that your resume, your LinkedIn profile is showcasing you as the industry leader that you are, and that it's geared towards that next step in your career. That's really important. The third is going to be getting you directly connected to decision makers. So getting you off the job boards that only give you a very small ROI landing an interview, and instead having you start connecting with the people who can advocate for you in your job search. Talking to recruiters, sure, but really talking to the decision makers, talking to people who are going to be on that department, et cetera. The fourth is going to be networking and interviewing effectively. This is storytelling. This is telling your impact, right? And it's networking. And I know that that's a dirty word for a lot of people, but it's important, right? It's getting that employee referral. And then the fifth part is really negotiating your salary, being financially fulfilled, et cetera. So those are really the key components. In our coaching program, we've got me, who is your strategist. We deal with the funny, unique situations. We prep you for the interviews and we strategize. We have my husband, who's the accountability and mindset coach. We want to make sure that you're accountable, staying motivated, talking about that mindset. And then we have another coach who's also an HR professional, helps with interview prep, but is also a dedicated burnout coach. In this day and age, and adding a job search onto an already busy and crazy lifestyle that we all tend to live these days, it's stressful and it burns people out. And we don't want you to go into the first step of your career needing a vacation. So we want to help heal some of those limiting beliefs and some of those, being able to set those boundaries and really start the next chapter of your career in a really good foot.
That's awesome. That's great.
One of the things, Kara, that I think is interesting about you, and I don't think a lot of people understand, when you and I share this in common, we're both senior professionals in human resources. So you'll see on resumes or different things, SPHR versus or a PHR. Will you talk about what that means, and what I can talk about it all day long, but they hear me talk a lot. So maybe you can talk about what that means when you got your SPHR versus being a PHR versus just being a human resource person in an office. What is the difference? Yeah. And talk about how that you approach that.
Sure. So being a human resources in a corporation, it means that you got hired to work in the human resources department. The funny thing about human resources is there's like 7 or 8 different components of human resources. There's recruiting, there's training, there's benefits, there's comp, there's payroll, there's risk. Employee relations. I mean, oh my gosh, there's so much, right? And now with the pandemic, human resources were kind of even encouraged to be like nurses and all of this stuff, right? It's insane how much human resources do, but it's exciting. So you can get a human resources job without needing a certification. It's a little tough, but it is possible. There are certification programs that you can go through SHRM or HRCI. HRCI is the more longstanding one. SHRM is the more popular one, but the certification program is a little bit newer. And you need to have a certain amount of experience and education in order to qualify to even take the test. The test, it's tough. It's tough to take. I remember studying for it and having a teacher say, this is basically an HR master's program shoved into a certification program. The success rate is about 50-50 if you study correctly. But PHR is a professional in human resources. The senior professional in human resources is a little bit more extensive. You need more experience and it's a little tougher. And then there's even a global professional in human resources for those who work internationally. And you take a test. Once you take the test and get the certified and pass, you have to keep up your education. So you have to take classes, webinars, attend events, et cetera, every 3 years to recertify or take the test again. I personally go to events and do webinars because I'm not taking that test again.
I cried when I passed, so I get it.
Me too.
I sat at the keyboard and cried. It was the hardest test I've ever taken, including multiple real estate state exams. So
I studied while planning my wedding. It was
the worst.
It was the worst.
Well, I just think it's important for people to understand where you're coming from in terms of that you have studied and spent years and years developing strategy and understanding history and labor laws and all of those things. And so when people go to consider you as a coach or consider you for helping them find a role, it's important that they understand that you have this experience and the credibility behind it. So thank you for sharing that. And everything else today. I'm really glad that you and I have connected. You've been an amazing resource. And so if people wanted to connect with you, tell us how they can connect with you. So what's the best way? Let's say they want coaching or they want resume help. Where should they connect with you?
Absolutely. You can check out our website. It's optimizedcareersolutions.com. We have free consultations. Currently, they're with myself or my husband, Jack. We want to provide value at the first call. That direct link is getstarted.optimizedcareersolutions.com. If you want to check me out on TikTok, it's Kara Dennison, SPHR is my handle, or on LinkedIn, I'm Kara Dennison, SPHR is my ending for that as well.
I will definitely be following you on TikTok. I have a love of making fun of myself on TikTok as well. You may not have the great following, but if I can embarrass myself in some way, I will go on TikTok and do it.
I can't wait to find you.
thank you very much for being here today. We really, really appreciate it. I know everybody has gotten a lot out of it. So any last thoughts from you, Linda?
No, I just think it's fantastic. I love that. Two things. One, you gave some great tips today. I mean, I'm looking at it from the employer standpoint, and I made myself a note that I need to figure out, just like we have to learn our spouse's love language, we have to find out each employee that we have, because sometimes I have some that just think everybody's lazy that doesn't want to be in the office. And then I've got some that are very productive and they're not in the office. And so how do I learn each individual person's uniqueness? What would make them feel like it's the dream job? Right. Yeah. So I thank you for all that. It's really got my head and my mind spinning on how do I make sure that when someone comes to work for us, they feel like it's their dream job. And what are some of the things I could put in place up front to help figure that out on the front end for people and help them? So thank you.
I love that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, our employees are our biggest asset for sure as business leaders. So that is definitely a worthwhile thought and something to look into to make sure that they have their dream job. So appreciate you sharing with us, Kara. We really enjoyed having you. For those of you who are listening, thank you for listening. Please don't forget to check out our website and download this week's piece of your leverage roadmap at leverageladies.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe to and share this Leverage Ladies podcast with others. We would love to have you follow us on social media as well. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and be sure to follow us for ongoing tips, updates, and information. The greatest compliment you can give us is to leave a 5-star review so that others are able to find the Leverage Ladies podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Leverage Ladies podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thanks for tuning in. And we hope to catch you again in the next episode of the Leverage Ladies podcast. We'll see you then.